What does Christmas mean to you? And how do you celebrate Christmas? How did it get started? What is the big to-do about December 25th? We know Christmas traditions come through our religious beliefs, our family's traditions, our culture beliefs, and what's normal in our society. Today, Unintentional, we want to talk about the first Christmas story.
Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
In the book of Matthew, the second chapter, Matthew writes through the eyes of, he would have been known as an IRS employee. He was a tax collector. And he writes through the eyes of what he saw and what he knew about the birth of Jesus. We'll take this story from two accounts, and then we will expound on those verses. Let's take a look at it in Matthew, the second chapter, where he reads, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." We've just read Matthew's account, and just like I stated, Matthew is the tax collector, so he sees life through different lenses. Then Luke, who we're about to read the first Christmas story from, is looking through the eyes of the physician. Luke is a disciple, but he's also a physician. Matthew is a disciple, but he's also a tax collector. In Luke, the second chapter, it reads, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary and his espoused wife, being great with child." Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. This is Luke's account of the first Christmas story. And it's the one that I grew up with, and many Western Christians and religious people also grew up with this Christmas story, the first Christmas story. The story of a young maiden. Many historians say, well, all young maidens or unmarried women were called virgins. That's because they were supposed to be virgins. And it was critical that they were, because had they not been, they would have been taken out and stoned, which is what Joseph was planning to do. But his thoughts were interrupted by the angel Gabriel, because Joseph thought to put her away privately. That means instead of making her a public spectacle, he was going to take her out himself and stone her, because that was the law, that was the custom, that if you were caught in the act of adultery, then you were to be stoned. And Mary was found with child before they ever came together as husband and wife. She was found with child, i.e. she was pregnant. She was going to have a baby, and Joseph was not the father of the baby. So he was concerned about this problem, that now he's espoused or engaged or planning to marry a woman he's betrothed to her, and he's finding out that she's pregnant, and he's thinking, I need to go and take care of this matter. I don't want other people to find out. And it becomes a show in the middle of the city. So he is interrupted by the angel, who tells him, Fear not to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She's not having a man's child. She's having a God's child. She is giving birth to the Son of the living God. She is a chosen vehicle for God to bring forth his Son, his seed, his word through in the earth. As a matter of fact, Mary was stunned. She thought, oh, who am I that my Lord would come and bless me? Who am I that he would give me this kind of favor? when she went to visit her cousin, actually Elizabeth, who was also pregnant with a miracle child, John the Baptist. The Bible says that when she walked into the house of Elizabeth, of Lizzie, when she walked into her house, the baby, John the Baptist, inside of Elizabeth's womb, and I believe Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant at the time, that the baby leaped inside of the womb. Pregnant women, those of you who've been pregnant and carried a child full term, you understand what that term means, that the baby leaped in your womb. And when John the Baptist leaped inside of Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth began to tell Mary, she began to prophesy to Mary, and she told her, blessed are you among women, because the mother of my Lord has come into this house. And she began to worship and began to praise God, because she knew that Mary was the carrier of the Son of God. And the Bible said that Mary, the Holy Spirit, overshadowed Mary. And I envision that as an incubator, the Holy Spirit coming in and creating a room around Mary for divine protection and divine guidance. Can you imagine the covering that she would need from the darts, including Joseph, the protection that she was going to need? Because here she is, a chosen vessel of God to be the house for the Son of God to be born through. And as the Holy Spirit overshadowed her and spoke to her, God had a place that he could bring his Son in the earth through. Because it was important that God send his Son. If he had not sent Jesus, this world, you think it's bad now? If God had not sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world, my Lord, that means that we would have zero Christians. We would have no people calling on God. We would have no Bible. We would have no spiritual base at all, because God had not sent Jesus. And for thousands of years, the world was walking in darkness. As a matter of fact, there was a period called the Dark Ages, when no one really thought about God, didn't talk of God. It was not publicly acknowledged. And people began to just go about their way, and they were going deeper and deeper into the abyss, and they deeper and deeper into the sin, deeper and deeper away from God rather than toward God. But John 3:16 says it this way: for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we mentioned that in another message, how the word of God has come in the earth so that we can have eternal life. I know every year this time, December 25th, the day that's been carved out to celebrate Christmas. And I know people get into a tiff over whether or not it's December the 25th or October the whatever. But regardless of what day he was actually born, the truth is he was born. That's the good news. He was born. The Son of God came into this earth. God robed himself in flesh, called Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ of God, and he put himself in this earth so that we could have access to eternal life. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught in his many, many lessons that he came to do the will of the Father. He didn't come to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the Father. Can you imagine? Now, Matthew talks about the men, the wise men, or the men from the east. And I know in our Christmas plays, we see the wise men, we see the shepherd. I mean, that stable is full of folks, full of animals. We got all kind of animals on the stage. We've got all kinds of people playing different roles. I mean, we just kind of embellished what we didn't understand, and we kind of filled in the gaps with our imagination. And I don't believe God is upset about that at all. But the truth is that there were wise men from the east who came on a different mission. And they had heard that a king was coming. Remember, Israel was expecting a deliverer. Israel was expecting the Messiah. It's not that they were not expecting the Messiah. They really were. But they were expecting him to come looking like a king, being born in the Hilton or, you know, or whatever, some five-star. They were expecting him to come in a different vehicle. But that is not the way he came. He came as a man, because if he had not come as a man, he could not redeem mankind. So Israel was in expectation of the king, but they were looking for love in different places. They were looking for love in the wrong places. So Matthew points out that there were wise men from the east who came, and they had heard that there was a king. And when Herod got wind of that, he thought, someone's coming to take my place. He was threatened by the news that a new king was being born. So he sent out orders that every child from 2 years old and under would be killed, because he did not want to give up his throne. How cruel is that? So, and the shepherds, the wise men in Matthew, came into a house. We notice in Luke that the shepherds did not come into a house. They actually went into the stable. The wise men brought gifts in of gold and frankincense and myrrh. These men that were men of wisdom, men of high intelligence, men intelligent enough to not go back to Herod's house after they had met with Mary and Joseph and the child that was born. They were intelligent enough to go another way, to not go back and report any news to Herod. They went another way after they delivered their gifts to the Christ child. Christmas comes from the word Christ Mass. And historically, it was celebrated. It was a mass to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we get the word Christmas from. So these wise men, these men from the east, had departed because they had brought gifts to the Christ child. They had brought gifts. Enough money could have been made from those gifts to take care of the Christ child. Because look what they brought. They brought gold, which in spirit represents divinity, but in that day it was worth cash. Frankincense and myrrh also represents, frankincense represented the prayers, because that's incense, the prayers of the saints that the Revelations talked about. And myrrh was used as an embalming fluid. It represented its death. So here we have three gifts that are representatives of things that Jesus would have to walk through, that Jesus would have to endure: the prayers of Gethsemane, his death, and this gold that represent his divinity. I've got to go to break, but I promise you, I'll be right back with the first Christmas story.
I'd like you to meet Susan Price, Gold Star mother and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Susan, as a Gold Star mom, what does patriotism mean to you?
Taking part in America at a larger scale of all the issues taking place today. Our blood is red, white, and blue. Patriotism to me means taking a stand and let your voice be heard.
Speaking of which, there's an old saying that you either get involved in politics or politics will get involved with you. So when we say, let the silent voices be heard, how do we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Wow, and how profound is that? We get out there, we let our voices be heard, we educate our children.
As a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, Susan, you're sort of like an investigative reporter. Or sometimes we call that in the business, like a dog with a bone. So what is your ultimate goal with your weekly column on America Out Loud?
The one goal that I have in mind is to rise the consciousness of the subject at hand, especially those who are clueless and have no idea that there is a problem in the first place. That's making a difference.
Our goal is simple: to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. It's to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. America Out Loud, welcome to the new era in communications.
And And we're back as we continue our journey today on the first Christmas story. And we talked about the book of Matthew in chapter 2 and the book of Luke in chapter 2. Different accounts through different lenses, different reports of what happened around that time. Matthew's could have been written a little bit later than Luke, signifying that he somewhere in the space of those 2 years, because that's when Herod had he had heard about the birth, and he wanted every child from the age of 2 years old and under to be killed. Luke comes in and he tells us about these shepherds, these three guys that are out there, these shepherds that are in the field, and they're minding their business. They're doing what they've been doing for some time, apparently, and they were out there minding their sheep, doing what they were doing. In the meantime, Joseph and Mary had gone to pay taxes. She was ready to give birth, but she hadn't given birth yet, so she was ready, and he had to take her. They had to make a stop because they needed to find a place for her to go in to deliver this baby. He couldn't keep her on this trip. He couldn't continue to travel in this state of in her state of delivery. She's ready to give birth. And so he finds this place, this little stable. He finds this place or this little inn, and they go to the inn. They knock on the door and the innkeeper says, "Sorry, no room here." How many people today continue to tell him, "No room here. I'm too busy. I've got so much going on in my life. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to read the Bible and other inspirational materials. I don't have time to be grateful. I don't have time to offer a song of praise. I am really busy." So there was no time or no room, same thing, no room for him in the inn. And so what happened is, it was time for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And those swaddling clothes, in my studies, I found out that these cloths, actually they used swaddling cloths is actually the correct word. And what they used were like the cloths that they used to clean the animals with. The wash to clean them after they come back in the stable to keep the animals' coats nice and shiny. That was all that there was available in that area, in that manger, in that stable. And they found these cloths and they wrapped him up in them and laid him in a manger. A manger is a bed of straw. Okay, and is where young animals would be, you know, when they're born. And they laid him there, the Son of God. And you think, my Lord, what a humble state. You know, yeah, it is. It's a very humble state. And he taught us, we learned through the way that Jesus was born and the way that he grew up as to how to walk out our lives. He didn't come being braggadocious about, "I am some great one." He didn't come with a banner over his head, except the shepherds did see that star, you know, and the wise men did come from the east, and the shepherds did hear the angels talk to them, and the wise men did come in. When he was born, it was in a very humble state. So there were shepherds keeping their flock by night, at the same time that he was born. And lo, the angel came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. Yeah, I would think so. That's kind of a frightening moment. Wow, here they are in the middle of taking care of the shepherd, and it's at nighttime. So his birth is obviously at night. And they see this glory, this bright light shining all around them. And the angel began to tell them, "Fear not, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I've got good news for you, boys. I've got good news for you. I'm bringing you some news that's going to be great for all people." I like the word "all people" because it doesn't leave anyone out. It's an inclusive word. It includes every denomination. It includes every race of people. It includes people from every background. God included everybody through the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. He did not forget about you. You may be listening to this today and think that God has forgotten about you because of the things that you may be going through right now. But my friend, believe what I tell you, that if his eyes are on the sparrow, he is surely looking out for you. He's got you. He's got your back. He's got your life. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is with you always, even to the end of the world. Listen, darling, that is your security system. That is your guarantee. That is your insurance and blessed assurance that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So these angels, he said, I'm bringing you good tidings, the angel. Let me not change the story, right? And the angel said unto them, fear not, for look, that's what beholds me. It means look here, pay attention. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to everybody, to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He has come today. Today is the day. He's been born in the city of David. He has manifested now. I am telling you, God just showed up in the middle of your shepherding. He has just shown up in the middle of your crisis. He's just shown up in the middle of whatever it is you've got going on in your life. God has made an appearance and he is manifesting his glory and his goodness, and he's with you right now. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find him. Now, I'm not telling you this just so you'll have questions later. So he tells the shepherds, this will be the sign that what I am telling you is true. This will be the evidence. You will find the baby wrapped in these cloths, lying in a manger, wrapped up in these cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, now you think they were afraid then, listen to this. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, suddenly there was a choir. There was a huge choir singing and praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Wouldn't you love to hear those words today? Well, you just heard them. Wouldn't you love to hear those words again? Sings, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In a day of so much chaos and confusion, we can use this season and remember what Luke said in chapter 2 in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So the angels are saying, this is a moment now that you have, that you can actually have peace. You can show goodwill toward men yourself, because now there is nothing keeping you from it. Jesus Christ gave us access to peace. He gave us access to Jehovah Shalom, who is Jehovah God is our peace, the Lord our peace. He's given us access to all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and we're no longer without. We have it all because of what Jesus has done. And as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, that's when the shepherds spoke and said, let's go to Bethlehem. We need to see what we have just heard. We need to go see the proof. We need to go see this baby wrapped in these cloths, lying in a manger. We need to find him. And so they took off. Yes. And they got in a hurry. Haste means they rushed. They got to it. Mm-hmm. And found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Here is Mary. She's given birth to the Word of God. She's given birth to the Son of God. And she is receiving everything that has been done, everything that she's being told, all of this experience that is going through her mind and through her body. And she's just a young girl. And she's receiving these things and she's pondering them. She's thinking about them, meditating upon them, keeping it in her heart. But the shepherds, they were quite different. They went and told, they went and shared the news because it was good news. It was the news that all of Israel had waited on for centuries. They had waited for the coming of the Messiah. They had waited for a deliverer. They had waited for a healer. They had waited for the Savior of the world. So the shepherds returned and they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So you see the difference between Matthew's account and Luke's account. Not that they disagree, but there are some details in one that are not in the other. Luke gives the account of the shepherds. Matthew points out the men from the east bringing the gifts. The shepherds became those men, or those who went and began to tell the story of the first Christmas story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is, born in this stable, born in a manger. He doesn't look like he's important. Mary and Joseph just came in to pay taxes. And here were gifts being brought to them. They just came in to do what they needed to do. So they don't look important. They don't look as if they were people who were changing the course of history. And that Mary didn't realize in that moment, I'm sure she did not, that this child she had just given birth to was going to change time one day from B.C. to A.D. She knew it was major because she had had an experience with an angel herself. So did Joseph. And they knew that they had become stewards over the word that God had sent in the earth. And they took their duties seriously. Of course they did. They were chosen of God to be the vehicles for whom the Christ child would come through. And Joseph would be the steward to make sure that he had what he needed, that he was taken care of. And Jesus grew up like any Jewish boy, but there was something different about him. He was not just another boy. He was the Son of the living God. I'll have to go to break, but I can't wait to come back and share more of this Faith Out Loud first Christmas story. And as we go to break, I want to remind you to listen to Intentional here with me, yours truly, Dr. Faye, every Sunday at 11 a.m. East Coast time, right after Viewpoint that airs at 10 a.m. East Coast time. And then we have your authentic self with Dr. Andrea Pennington coming on after this show. So I want you to pay attention, listen, do download the app and carry it in your phone. And I can tell you, I was going someplace the other day and I had downloaded the app and just was driving and I hit my Bluetooth on my car. And next thing I know, I am in the America Out Loud classroom and I'm hearing, wait a minute, that's Out Loud. I got excited. Well, oh gosh, I forgot. I downloaded it and I can listen to it in my car. Consider that. Download the app. I'll be right back for our last segment today on the first Christmas story.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutLoud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
And we're back with the first Christmas story. I want to remind you, as we continue this segment here in today's message, that every weekday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm part of a co-host group of women that are extraordinary, truly extraordinary. I kid you not. If you have not listened to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure, make sure you download the app and listen to that show. It is awesome. You will be informed, educated, and even entertained, inspired for sure, every day at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. And yours truly is one of the co-hosts. And there are at least 11 others, including Malcolm, that are there on that show. It is awesome. The first Christmas story, we looked at it through the eyes of Matthew, we've looked at it through the eyes of Luke, and we even took a peep at it through the eyes of Mary, and how she must have felt, the experiences that she must have had in her body and in her mind and her soul, that here she is, chosen of God to bring forth his first begotten son into the world. And that's interesting that we use the term, and the Bible refers to him as the first begotten of the Father, because there would be many more sons being born. Of course, not of Mary, but certainly from a place of the born again experience, a place from having this new birth, a place from realizing that we need a Savior. We really need a connection with He who created all things. And the only way to get to God is through the Son. Jesus said that no man can come to the Father except He comes through me. That means acknowledge, accept, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I tell you, it has changed my life and the lives of so many other people. It's a given fact that many people who experience spiritual community, the IE Church, have a relationship with people who are of like mind in a spiritual community, or however you gather. I'm of the belief that if you gather in a living room or under a tree, it doesn't matter. But as long as you're connected with people of precious faith, people who can pray, people who can inspire and motivate and encourage you to grow and to expand and to be bigger and bolder, to be more courageous, then you have connected to the right people. Before Matthew and Luke, there was a man by the name of Isaiah. He lived about 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And in his prophecy, he was a prophet. He's considered to be a major prophet. And boy, was he major. And he writes in the book of Isaiah in 7 and 14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." You see, Emmanuel means Emmanuel, I-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, that Emmanuel, means God with us. God with us. And Jesus came to show us who God is. His life shows us what God is like, who he represents the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And every year we, many of us create the nativity scenes in our homes or on our lawns, as long as you're not in one of those other neighborhoods where it's banned. I don't live in those areas, so it's not banned. Many people around me have their nativity scenes out. They have their whatever they want, you know, their crosses. They have whatever they want, because this is who we are. This is our tradition. This is our culture. This is our freedom of expression and freedom of religion and freedom to have a relationship with God. I like that. So in a climate where you may not have that freedom and liberty to express it on the outside, you can certainly do it in within your home and among your family members. Create a space and a place. I encourage you to have a real Christmas this season. And remember the first Christmas story. Remember the stories that we've read today from Matthew chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2. It's not just in my Bible. I promise you, if you get one, it's in yours too. And I chose to read from the King James Version. It's the oldest version of the Bible, so most people are acquainted with it. If you don't have a physical copy, certainly you have it on your iPad, your iPhone, your smartphone. You can get access to it online. And read those chapters. Read it to your children, your grandchildren. It is the first Christmas story. And through time, we have gotten away from why are we celebrating it? Why are we celebrating Christmas in the first place? Because of Emmanuel, because of Christ being born. Well, Jesus being born, Christ has always been. Christ is Messiah. Christ is Spirit. Christ is the manifestation of God in the earth through Jesus. Jesus Christ. He is God. He's from earth to heaven, Jesus Christ, and from heaven to earth, Christ Jesus. So Christ is Spirit and always has been and always will be. Jesus was the house that Christ lived in, right? So when Jesus was born, my Lord, and God put himself on the inside of him, he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And God being with him is now with you and I. And there is nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. I like John 3:16, and I make it personal when I think about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." I like to say it this way: "For God loved Faye so that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever," that means you, "soever," you and you, "soever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Doesn't mean that you won't go through things, that problems won't happen. In the world you will have trouble, he said, "but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." The birth of Jesus brought a whole new dimension to this earth, so that all of heaven had now made an appearance in the earth. All that was in God went inside of Jesus Christ. It was nothing different. He didn't put a part of himself in Jesus and say, "Oh yeah, you can distribute a little bit here and a little bit there." No, we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. The Bible says that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. And that's the actual text. And so being complete in him, there is nothing missing and nothing broken in my life because God loves me so. And he loves you so. He loved you so much. Even you who have lived a life that you're not even happy with yourself, he still loves you enough. Remember, he said for the sins of the whole world. He died for you. He put his life down for you and for me. He sent his son in this earth so that you and I will have access to heaven on earth. For God so loved us that we can have eternal life right now because of the life of his son that he sent in this earth, and his son gave his life. We used to sing this song many moons ago. God gave his son and son gave his life. I think my grandmother used to sing that song. God gave his son and the son gave his life. That's how that happened. That's how that goes. He gave his life for you and for me, and so that we can all grow up in him. And I am so happy that he was born, but I want you to know he did not stay a baby. And I know every year we see this baby in the manger. Then people get in a tiff over whether it was a black baby or, which color should Jesus be this year? I want to help you with that. He is spirit, and spirit has no color. And because he is spirit, we can embrace him, and we can allow him to embrace us and have this real relationship with our Lord and with our Savior, who loved us so much that he robed himself in flesh and put himself in a manger. Just as he put himself on the cross and he said, no man takes my life, but I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I am able to raise it up again. Now, I don't know who you are or what you may be going through. And maybe you're feeling alone and you're feeling like there's no Savior. Savior, salvation. Savior means making you whole, making you whole. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are made whole, nothing missing and nothing broken. Everything that exists in spirit, in heaven, in God is now available to you because Jesus did come and he did not stay in that manger. So don't hold that picture in your head because that's not where he is today. He's not in the nativity scene. He is alive, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. He's our advocate with God the Father. He's our mediator between God and man. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the shepherd of a great sheepfold. He's the Lord, my shepherd, and I shall not want. Isaiah called him Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That's who he is. He's the Ancient of Days. From age to age, he's still the same. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is altogether lovely. He is Jesus Christ, the King today. He's worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all glory. He's worthy of our attention with intention. He is Jesus, the Savior of the whole world. And when you ask him to come into your heart, he will. So, well, Dr. Faye, I don't feel like he's with me, but ask him to be with you. If you will do that, my friends, you will experience his presence. Maybe you have never done it before. Maybe you have used other routes to get to God and you're not feeling it. You're not experiencing his presence or his power. And maybe you experience it sometimes. Maybe. If you'll begin to just ask him. This is a real Jesus. This is a real first Christmas story. And he's ready to be your real Savior and to revolutionize your life from the inside out. He'll work a work in you that will stun you, surprise you. You'll be surprised as to how good you can really feel. You'll be surprised as to how free your mind really can be when you allow Him to really be your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches us that we can have the mind of Christ. Because Jesus did come through a virgin territory, was born of a Virgin Mary, of a young woman, came in this earth, we can now have access to everything that's in heaven. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to go back and remember the first Christmas story, the only true Christmas story, from which we have built our lives for many, many years around, knowing that Jesus Christ truly did come to this earth, and that you are alive today and available to whomsoever will, let them come. We thank you for your loving kindness that draws us. We thank you for the peace of God that passes understanding, because we know you are Jehovah Shalom. We thank you, Father, for being our provider, because you are Jehovah Jireh. We thank you for being our healer, because you're Jehovah Rapha. You are truly the Lord God who heals. We thank you, Father God, for your mercy that endures so sweetly. Even when we don't listen, you still cover us. We thank you, Father, for forgiving us with the same forgiveness, the Lord God, that you have made available through Jesus to us. We forgive others. Let that forgiveness flow. Let your love flow through us with the same love that you love us with. Let it flow through us to others. Father, we thank you for this season of celebration, that we are reminded that there's a real Christmas story in this. When we're out shopping or doing all the things that we do, let us look up and remember to look within, that there's a real Christmas story here. And that the first Christmas story, Lord God, it gives us hope of a better future. It gives us hope because we see a miracle that took place. We realize, Father God, what wasn't supposed to happen did happen, and it was good. And the shepherds gave you praise and honor and glory. And Lord, I thank you right now that we will become just like those shepherds, to hear the good news and be grateful and thankful and have an attitude of gratitude that will take us to altitudes, so that we will be empowered to be a blessing to the multitudes. Help us to live a transformed life by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for giving us victory over demonic spirits all over the airways, and, Father, over this platform and over this entire planet, God. We thank you, Lord, that, Lord, points of lights are breaking out all over the world, that people are waking up to the reality that there is a real Christmas story. And the first Christmas story was of Emmanuel, God with us. And now we have Christ within us, the hope of glory. We know, Lord God, and believe and trust your word, and that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We believe, Father, that we have been made more than conquerors through him who loves us. And we know, Lord God, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you will bless the hearers and the doers of your word. We thank you for quickening our spirit according to the same spirit, Lord God, that raised Christ from the dead. You quicken our mortal bodies. And Father, give us the insight to walk according to your will. We know, Lord God, that all things are working together for the good of them that love the Lord, for them that are the called according to your purpose. And we give you the praise for this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. And amen. I'm so happy you stopped by to be a part of Intentional today. And I trust that this message has been a blessing to you and will continue to be a blessing to you, because you can listen in the encore and in the podcast. Make sure that you download the app so that you don't miss any episodes. Make sure to bookmark AmericaOutloud.com, because it should be your go-to station for inspiration, your go-to platform and network, rather, for inspiration, motivation, encouragement, and certainly spiritual enlightenment. There are some awesome hosts and experts on this platform that you will not find anywhere else in the world. So make it your business today to bookmark us. I look forward to hearing from you. My email address is drfaye@americaoutloud.com. Again, that's drfaye at americaoutloud.com. And don't forget to join us at On Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure every weekday at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's great being here with you, and I want to hear back from you, and I wish you and your family a very blessed season. However you celebrate Christmas, just keep in mind the story of the first Christmas story. Until then, God bless you.